turn to God's word. Leprosy was highly contagious. It cut you off from society and from religious worship because you had to isolate yourself for the good of the community. Only a month ago, most of us would have struggled to identify with this, and yet today we know exactly what that means. Coronavirus has impacted all of our lives, and with no current cure, just like the leprosy in Jesus' day, it's going to continue to cause suffering and heartache in all sorts of ways, and I suspect for a good while yet. Just being isolated, even without the disease, feels hard enough to many, I'm sure. And these feelings, they connect us with some of what this leper was going through at the end of Mark chapter 1. We are being reminded here, though, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of our isolating predicament, there is one who cares. One who can reach out to us in the trial of our situation, who is able fully to help us and to meet us at the point of our need. Now then, I believe there's two big themes that travel through Mark's gospel. The first one is who Jesus is. And the second, Mark also shows us, as we pass through this gospel, what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so here in these verses, Mark is showing us more of that first one. Who is Jesus? We're about to see more of his character, the real underlying him and of how that gets revealed to us in this action. We're going to see his selflessness, his readiness to reach into and deal with the diseased mess of someone's situation. And in spite of the cost that it's going to have for him, and it did have a cost. And seeing his selflessness, his readiness, will we then follow him with selflessly involving ourselves in the desperate lives of others? We'll think about that at the end if we can. But first we're going to take a look at the leper and the Lord. And we're going to start in verse 40 here with the leper. Verse 40, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I've got three headings for you as we look at the leper, and we'll follow that in a moment with 3 points about the Lord. Let's first think about the leper. The leper's disease is my first point. We've thought a little bit about that already. Leprosy was one of the most feared of all the diseases in the New Testament. It was highly contagious, and there was no cure. And its impact on your body was simply horrible. It disfigured you. Parts of your flesh began to turn white and to die and to fall away. You lost your sense of feeling in the affected areas, which meant that you felt no pain when something damaged you, and you wouldn't quickly recoil from kind of accidents like normal people. Neither would you heal properly. It just made it all worse. And it also attacked your internal organs. And so in every way, you were on track for a slow and drawn-out death. And because it was so infectious, you'd be sent away from the community to isolate yourself. You'd be deprived of the care and the fellowship of your family and friends. Neither could you go to the synagogue. Public worship for you was over. You were on your own, wretched, miserable, and an outcast. We understand this is the same incident as the one that's recorded for us in Luke chapter 5. Where the leper there is recorded as being full of leprosy. So this man's body here, it was now racked with this disease. He would have looked awful, scary even. And normal people would have run away from being anywhere near him. It all sounds very familiar, doesn't it, I'm afraid? And you know, leprosy, though, is It's many in many ways, it's a picture for us of an even worse disease the Bible calls sin. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, the Bible defines sin as lawlessness. In other words, sin is that tendency within every one of us to act outside of God's laws, committing acts of wrongdoing and wickedness that are contrary to how he designed us and intended us to act towards him and towards each other. Sin makes us unclean. God looks at all the sin, all the bad in our lives, and he regards us as unclean because of it. In fact, it's made us so dirty that without us being cleansed, we are unfit for being in close fellowship with the pure, holy, sinless and perfect God of eternity. We're an offence to him, impure and unfit for entering heaven. Our thoughts, our actions, things we've said, God looks at the mess, the stink, the awfulness of it, and it has made us become to him as grotesque and as diseased as the leper. Let's next look at the leper's desperation. Now, although we can imagine how desperate he must have been, we can see it clearly from our verse. The man chose to defy the accepted social practice of having to keep your distance from everyone. He came to Jesus. He came near to him when he should not have. In the previous verse, we're told that Jesus was preaching in the synagogues throughout Galilee. Jesus is ministering in the towns, in the villages. The lepers were not supposed to come into those areas because that's where people were. Lepers were to isolate themselves. But this man comes to Jesus. He comes right up to him, near enough to infect Jesus, and down he gets on his knees in front of him and implores or begs him for help. We can imagine that everyone else near Jesus would probably have quickly backed away. You might imagine a few cries of indignation from the "back off, unclean, don't come near us." And yet the leper pays no attention. Respectfully, humbly, pitifully, he kneels before Jesus. He's desperate. And quite clearly he feels that Jesus is his only hope. I ask today whether in your isolation, or even more importantly, in the realization of how unclean your sin has made you before God, whether you have realized truly that Jesus is your only hope. In the Bible, Jesus is presented to us as the only hope we have for being made clean and acceptable to God. Without him, the state of our souls before God is desperate. Without him, we are too dirty for heaven, too dirty for fellowship with a holy and a pure God. I wonder whether any of you do feel that desperation that the leper felt, the suffocating gloom of what has descended upon our land, this growing sense of your own isolation, or most importantly, of course, a sense of your own unworthiness and sinfulness before the Lord. It is to Jesus that we must all turn in the midst of our despair. So look, we've considered the leper's disease, the leper's desperation. Now we must think about the leper's deference. And in case some of you aren't sure what that word means, I'm talking about the leper's submission to the Lord's will in his request, his willingness to defer to the Lord over whether or not he should be healed. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's what he says to the Lord. He's convinced that the Lord can make him clean, and I find that wonderful. In the leper's mind, there seems to be no doubt whatsoever that Jesus is able to do this. No doubt at all. he's understood that Jesus has the power and the authority to cleanse him, to banish his leprosy and to make his body whole again. Have you grasped how able Jesus is? Are you ready to position yourself at his feet, just like that leper did, confident that as the Christ, the Son of God, he can fully meet the need of your situation, even if, humanly speaking, it seems so messed up and impossible to deal with? For the leper, it wasn't about the Lord's ability. He knew Jesus could make him clean. The question was whether Jesus was willing to. And he deferred to the Lord on that. Here's my predicament, Lord. Here's my need, Lord. If you are willing, you can deal with this. It's over to you. What I need is your mercy, your compassion. I can't demand you to help me. I can't insist. In fact, I've got no basis on which to plead for your help at all, other than to ask, to implore that you would have mercy on me. You know, it's such a lovely example of how to pray. Your will be done. It's up to you. And how right it is to pray like this. How right it is to come with humility, with deference, content that we come asking great things of a great and powerful healer and cleanser. It's exactly how we should ask the Lord for anything. And when it comes to dealing with our sin and our own personal uncleanness before the Lord, this is how we should ask for mercy. We must come in repentance, bowing low in all humility, asking, imploring with this strong sense of undeserving desperation. Please forgive me. Please wash away my sin. Please cleanse me and make me fit for heaven. The words, if you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. That needs to be the prayer of every sinner. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only soul-cleansing saviour for unclean sinners like us. Now then, how's the Lord Jesus going to react? What is his response? Well, in the same way, I have 3 points to bring out to you about the Lord. Here's the first. We see here the Lord's compassion. Verse 41. Then Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Where everyone else recoiled and fled, Jesus did the opposite. He could have been indignant over the risk and the danger, but instead Jesus reaches out his hand and he touches the leper. Can you see that as he does this, just how much care and loving kindness lay behind that? This leper probably couldn't remember the last time he'd had physical contact with anyone. I think it's difficult to comprehend just how very much that touch by the Lord's loving hand meant to him. Maybe if you've been feeling your isolation, you can begin to connect with this a little bit. The absence of direct contact with people has its impact. Our Lord's loving touch to this leper must have meant so much, just as his loving touch upon our lives can mean so much to us too. Of course, the Lord Jesus could just have spoken a word and healed the leper like that, but he didn't. His action, touching him, showing his pity, showing the depth of his love that lay inside his heart for him, his acceptance of the leper in this so beautiful, so caring way, it displays something further of his real character. We're seeing the underlying true Jesus here. His selflessness, his warm readiness to reach into broken lives with a tender love that makes all the difference. I wonder whether someone listening today, have you perhaps not realise that this is what Jesus is like? Have you been pushing away the warm-hearted, compassionate Jesus, where for so long he's been reaching out to you and just you wouldn't have him? Look with me next at the Lord's cleansing. I am willing, be cleansed, Jesus said. And in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And surely we've got to marvel at this and just look on it with wonder. You see, not only does Jesus have the power to heal and to cleanse the leper, but in Mark's true style, he makes sure that we understand this was immediate. The Lord spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. We know those words from elsewhere, don't we? There was no recovery period whatsoever. And nothing even today can compare with this. We're told the leprosy left him immediately. The disease itself, it was banished, it was gone, and he was cleansed. We're not told whether any disfigurement was healed, but of a certainty where once the flesh was going white or flaking or dying, instead, in an instant, that flesh became as healthy and as well-looking as if it had never in any way been diseased in the first place. Truly, this leper was cleansed of any trace of it, and the transformation must have been breathtaking. It's a picture for us. It's an evidence, if you like, of the Lord's total and complete ability to also cleanse our souls from the blight of sin. If he can do this to the leper, why can he not also cleanse me from my uncleanness, my sin? We thought a moment ago about how our sin, how it makes us impure and unfit for glory, but Jesus can wash away its deep stain upon us. There's an old Christian song that has the words, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." The only way the stain and the guilt of our sin can be removed, it was for the penalty to be borne by another. At the cross, in the agony of that, in the darkness, God the Father loaded upon his Son the penalty for our sin. He suffered, bearing the punishment for it, so that we might not have to. But God will only credit us with the benefit of that finished work if we confess our sin, if we put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus. Like the leper, we need to bow at his feet. We need to ask for cleansing, recognizing that Jesus is our only hope. Now then, we've noticed the Lord's compassion, the Lord's cleansing, and now I just want us to notice too the Lord's command. Verses 43 and 44. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." It was a strong warning. The man was absolutely not to spread this around. To do so would make Jesus more famous as a healer rather than as a preacher and as a minister of souls. He knew what the result of more fame would be, and we'll see that in verse 45 in just a minute. But don't tell anyone, he says, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded. In every respect, Jesus had come to fulfill the law. He obeyed it himself, and here he is instructing the leper to do the same. But the Lord had a deeper desire here. He wanted this to be a testimony to the priests. You see, leprosy was so... It was regarded as so hard to cleanse, it was kind of in the same category as kind of raising the dead, something like that. If the priest in Jerusalem had seen his cleansing, having had to examine the man and to check it was so, then how much of a powerful witness this was going to be to those priests of who Jesus was? They were being forced to recognize, to accept who he, accept the cleansing, and to, it would have testified to them of who he was. But it wasn't to be. I strongly suspect the leper's disobedience in spreading the news around about his healing was matched by his disobedience in not travelling to Jerusalem, not showing himself to the priest, and not making the offering of those two clean birds in Leviticus 14. Yes, quite probably in the providence of God, who works even through our disobedience, that witness didn't happen. Because the Lord did need, ultimately, to be rejected and disbelieved by the priests. But the disobedience wasn't excused. It didn't make it okay. Let's now look at verse 45 again and see what did happen. Verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in the deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. I want you to notice something important here, something significant, because what we're seeing here is that the healing of this man's leprosy had a real cost for the Lord Jesus. Think this through with me. Up to now, where had the leper been? He'd been isolating himself, not in the town, of course, but in the deserted and lonely places out there. Now he had come into the town, and because he had been cleansed, that's where he could remain. But what about Jesus? He had been preaching and teaching in the towns and the villages, but now he had to content himself with being in those deserted places. His unwanted fame meant that even in those deserted places, yes, they were going to come to him from every direction, and staying in the town had become impossible. But can you see that a swap had taken place? The Lord Jesus had not only had compassion on the leper, healing him, cleansing him, but the Lord had taken his place. Cleansing the leper had a cost to Jesus. Mark wants us to pick up on that. Who is Jesus? Well, he is presented here in these verses not only as a powerful and compassionate healer, as if that wasn't enough of a message in its own right, but we see here too that he has so much compassion for us that in spite of the cost, he is the one that is ready to take the place of those he cleanses. It's a foretaste of what happened at Calvary, isn't it? Now the picture of what was involved in cleansing us from our sin. He needed to take our place under judgment on the cross of Calvary. Cleansing the sinner's sin required him to take the blame in place of us. And he died on that tree, bearing the judgment penalty on our behalf for all that would believe, all that would trust in him. Please, this morning, look, if you have not yet come to Jesus as that leper did, I urge you to do so. Come to him in your isolation. Come to him in your sin. And find in him one that can cleanse and can wash away your sin and make you fit for enjoying that deep and abiding relationship with God in Christ Jesus. Now, as I finish today, I just want to leave you, those of you who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, just to leave you with two brief further thoughts about what it is to follow Jesus. Remember, I feel that Mark is showing us here who Jesus is, and he's also showing us what it looks like to follow him. So thought number one is quite simply, think about your obedience to him. The leper should have obeyed the Lord's command. And considering how blessed he had been by the Lord, how outrageous it was, how unthankful it was that he did not obey him. The end of his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The foundations of many people's lives today are shifting. But the Christian believer can find that the Lord and his things will stand as a sure foundation to us, provided we do as he says. Our obedience to him matters. Our faith will wobble, we will wobble, if we do not follow what he tells us to do. And thought number two, very finally, is this. As we look at our Lord's selfless engagement with this leper, knowing, as I'm sure he did, that there would be a cost attached, let us follow him in reaching out to others, even if there is a cost to us in that. You know, if as Christians we can't rise to help our neighbours at a time like this, then when can we? Now, I know some of us are having to self-isolate. I'm not for one moment asking you to go against that. But for those of us that aren't isolating, let's reach out to others. Don't go against the social distancing thing. Keep to that. But let's be a witness to those around us. Let's help them with errands. Let's show our compassion, our Christian love, and let's do it for the Lord Jesus Christ and do it in his name. We can be the means by which his loving touch can reach others in this difficult time. And who knows what friendships and what gospel opportunities will come out of that. Well, I trust the Lord will bless his word to us this morning. Amen.